we're still studying brightness. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In the New Testament, the word brightness is sometimes translated as appearing, and sometimes, well, let's just look at it. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Let's look at verse 11, starting in 11. But thou, man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word appearing there is this word that's sometimes translated brightness. It's epiphania, E-P-I-P-H-A-N-I-A, epiphania, which is an interesting translation. Appearing and brightness being interchangeable. And so let's go to 2 Timothy, chapter 1.
What scripture are we going to?
We're going to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing, and again there it's brightness, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life and immortality to light through the word or through the gospel. So his appearing again here is brightness. Now let's go one more to Titus, chapter 2. Verse 11.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. But is now made manifest by the appearing.
Appearing in us, brightness in us.
So that happens when it happens.
I'm glad you asked that question. Go backwards to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. This is talking about the Antichrist starting in verse 4. In verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now... And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way.
What restrain?
Letteth there means restrained.
He's being held back.
Huh? Well, but again, this is just the translation of the word. It's hinders or hinder or restrain or keep from appearing or keep from. That's what the word letteth means here. Not what it means in English, but what it's in Greek. But here's the key. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Now who is he that letteth, if you will, here, or restrains until he be taken out of the way? You. You. Me.
Yeah.
Or mine. When us are taken out of the way, it's taken out of the way by what? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom then the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence or the brightness of his coming. He who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. He's taken out of the way by repentance. Until there's not the slightest bit of you and your mind left in the temple of God. Because you're the one that's restraining or hindering. Does everybody understand that?
So that would mean you come to a point where you stop that. You stop hindering.
And how do you do that?
Die.
You reckon yourself dead. You mortify yourself. You see that this the illusion of self is gone forever. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and who shall destroy with the brightness of his coming or his presence. But it's all, and the reason is we are having to continue with him in his test. No longer ours, it's his test. His test is well. It's too simplistic to say what I've said often, but it is to think to try to anything that is in your mind to benefit yourself or even benefit others. It's other than the will of God
in the moment.
So. But it's necessary that you see this constantly, because the necessity of repentance is almost always until you have seen the futility and emptiness, the puff of smoke of all the things that you can think of all the activities of men, of all politics, of all commerce, of everything. And you see the futility and emptiness of it, then you have the potential to be born again, and then the sanctification is complete because that evil one is taken out of the way by repentance.
You just described to me the position of being in Christ, which is that moment of now being, not judging for yourself, continuing to be.
Right, it's a continuum that never stops. Because
stop and admire yourself for the good deeds you just
did. Or anything like that. Any awareness, really, of...
It becomes polluted automatically.
Yeah. Right, and that's what it means, the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, this sounds impossible. But he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Till you be taken out of the way. Now, there are two kinds of images that we have. One are the graven images, and these images are idols, I should say. The graven images are the idols that were formed in you, probably as a very young child, you may not remember it, but they're the things for which you have an automatic and immediate emotional response to whatever that stimulus is. And the emotional response is to see how necessary repentance is. Now, the biggest of their emotional responses are the silver images, where you have figured out a way of self...
Redemption.
Yeah, you figured out a way of self-redemption. Something, you've got an idea, or something is going to... If this happens, then that will take place. But it's not like the normal one of thinking about it. It's where there's strong emotional response. And this is what shame is. It's the molten image of silver that believes that you're going to fix yourself by some method. I mean, then the gold responses are we could go on forever. But there's silver, gold, brass. There's all these molten images that were formed in the fire of your own emotions, maybe as child abuse, or, you know, on and on and on. And that's why this mystery that we are involved in is so seemingly complex, because there are all these elements. And if you remember when we studied Hezekiah, who had the greatest Passover ever, the reason he did was because they went through and destroyed all the graven images, all the molten images that were in their external, that they carried on their shoulders in some place. So, I mean, which we carry on our shoulders. And so they're harder to get... They're harder to be destroyed than the graven images, because the molten images are always someone else's fault. You understand? You will automatically blame somebody because you're trying to protect that thing from even being seen. So let's read this thing in 2 Thessalonians again, just with this stuff in mind. Let's start in chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. So this describes what the Antichrist does, the instead of Christ. And the instead of Christ in you, the temple of the living God, is you. And this describes what you do.
The falling away. What falls away? The deceptions that you create?
No, the falling away is the... It's instead of the end time revival, it's the end time apostasy. That's falling away is apostasy. That's the word, apostasy.
Okay, but this is personal, right? I mean,
it's universal and personal.
Okay, but in the personal sense, something has to fall away where you can no longer deceive yourself.
Well, it's your false religion.
You really are.
Right, your false religion that involved you is the great apostasy.
Yeah. But then that leads to you thinking you're equal.
Well, it leads to, what's what it says? You sitteth in the temple of God, showing yourself that you're God.
Yeah.
And the way that you do that is by judging good and evil.
And this has to happen.
Right, if it don't, then you're forever...
You continue in apostasy.
Right, but you don't think it's apostasy.
No, you think
no one has ever worshipped an idol, you understand?
Yeah.
And no one never admit it was an idol. No one would believe they're in a state of apostasy. That's why the preaching of the cross is so vital, because that is what produces the repentance.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll read the Bible just some ways in every place you look, you'll see you. Oh, there all he is. No, he's not. All he's not in the Bible. Except as the evil one. But you've got to see that you're not in here.
And just a link here, it's like the preaching of the cross produces a state or place where the presence or brightness of his coming is there. That's the power of God to dispel the darkness of who you thought you were, I guess.
Yeah, but remember... This is a complex thing. It's all, just think of the thousands of things that your mind learned as right and normal and good behavior. Every one of them is bullshit. And those, and then you got all the molten images. But.
Now, in this brightness. Though.
But again, he's not destroyed until. The repentance takes place. Go back to verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, or is in process. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. But he's not going to do that until you will be taken out of the way. Does this... You understand? Do you disagree?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's
so that he's revealed in us.
And we're revealed in him.
And that's the destruction of, and then the brightness of his coming destroys his power.
And this him is, in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Just think of the signs and lying wonders that that man or the instead of Christ has produced. Airplanes, landing on the moon. Intercontinental ballistic missiles from Korea. North Korea. Not. I mean, we get so proud of all these things that we can't hear the evilness of them. You're doing it, Gary.
I just read ahead there. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan.
Right.
That's weird.
That's you and I. Go to Ephesians 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life, our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You can put Christ's name on it, but if you're still walking according to the course of this world, it's no more Christ than Satan is. Amen. It's hard to understand and much harder to accept that you are the Antichrist. That your number is 666 because you can never be at rest, 7. And that is written on your forehead, which it's a symbolic of how you think, and it's on your right hand, which is what you think is what you do. It's all the perfection or personification of the evil one. To try to keep self in the picture somehow. Amen?
I've got a question here. Is there a difference between a believer and a non-believer as far as the Antichrist is concerned?
No.
So being born again doesn't.
Well, if you recognize that you were with him from the beginning, and you know the evilness of everything about you, and have repented of it, so there's born again is just again that's just the start, that's the beginning. It's what's called being saved. That's just the beginning. You go from the world to the mercy seat. And the travel of Israel and the rareness of making it is revealed in the Old Testament. That's why it's the revelation of him. But there's no revelation of you in the picture.
That's not bad news.
Hmm?
That's not bad news.
Well, I'm glad it's not, but it's terrible news for the human race. We want to walk through life judging good and evil. That's what Satan said was the fruit of the fall. Back in the very beginning. Go there one time. We might as well go these basics. Go to Genesis chapter 2 or 3. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now remember, this snake, it was Adam's mind, or Eve's mind, after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the fall. Well, that was about them. I'm here now. This isn't about me. Just think for a minute this sort of analogy. If your grandfather had died at birth, where would you be? You wouldn't be. And so you take that genetic world all the way back to the beginning of man, and you have to see that the fall affected you as much as it affected Adam and Eve. It is your basic nature. So now listen. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, but neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now her adding, neither shall you touch it, was not said by God. If you touch it, that spiritually touching, you have dominion over it. But if you don't touch it, then it has dominion over you. But otherwise, it's just philosophical. And so now what happens? And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not die, surely die. For God doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's what man has done ever since. He wanted to fix himself to be more and more like God. But the main thing, being like God, is he judges for himself good and evil. Amen? So we kind of took a broad brush thing here, but let's look at one more scripture of this brightness thing in the New Testament. Go to Titus chapter.
Can I ask a quick question? To not touch something is to have dominion over you, and to touch it is to have dominion over it. But what is it that God said not to do? Not to eat it?
Eat.
Got it.
Not to gain sustenance from it.
Yeah.
Or satisfaction. Titus.
Hey, where is that anyway?
It's right after Hebrews, just before, right before Hebrews. Starting verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the appearing there is a word for brightness, epiphania. So the appearing has with it, it's translated both ways. It's translated brightness, or it's translated appearing. But not all the appearing, some of the appearing or coming is parousa, which is presence. But presence and brightness are probably the same thing in God's eyes. All right? Everybody understand perfectly. We shall see. Take a good guy.